Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from AI Day in San Francisco, and I'm delighted to be joined by Michael Dragalis, Chief Data Scientist at Penn Medicine.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and talk a little bit about why Penn Medicine has a Chief Data Scientist.
Grand Poobah was taken, so that was the next thing that I could pick from. But I spent my career at Lockheed Martin working in missile defense and other programs in the DoD. I worked my way up to Chief Data Scientist at Lockheed, spent my educational time in electrical engineering and mathematics, and I've always had a love for numbers, and what greater way to apply them in the world than through signal processing and artificial intelligence. When I was at Lockheed, I worked in a traditional realm of filtering and taking signals from satellites, trying to detect where missiles were going, trying to predict where they're going to land. And that was all done with a method of understanding the process of how missiles fly, an understanding of stochastics and how to take the uncertainty of the measurements that we knew and estimate actually where things were going to go. But we had this really difficult problem of understanding what is that thing that's flying through the air? And there weren't really great processes or models to help us answer that. So in the void of that, we started to use lots and lots of data and started to use machine learning in a way that could fill or learn the process. And that's really where I had a strong passion for modern signal processing, as I called it back then, or artificial intelligence and machine learning techniques now. In my last few years at Lockheed, I was asked to try to figure out how can we take these approaches and apply in different verticals, different markets. And one of the first ones I ran into was healthcare. When I saw the data, I drank the Kool-Aid and understood that there was tremendous benefit from applying these techniques to healthcare data. So I ended up at Penn primarily because they put a lot of effort in curating data over the years, having this tremendous wealth or a data lake of data. But also they had an executive team that really bought into the promise of what data science could do. And so they brought me in as a chief data scientist with the strategy of building predictive solutions that are alongside the clinician, alongside the operations folks, alongside the patients, as opposed to building reports and trying to find that needle in the haystack, which is still a really important thing to do. But in healthcare, there's a lot of good work that can be done with your typical business intelligence techniques. And I thought the bigger value would be actually deploying these things to predict the future as opposed to understanding the past.
Now, we've talked a lot on Chip Chat about how technology and healthcare collide in really wonderful ways. But tell me a little bit about the approach that you're taking at Penn and where you're seeing the initial opportunities for integrating these approaches.
It goes back to a little bit what I was talking about in my past, where there's tremendous research done in healthcare, of course, to understand the progression of illness, to understand well-being in people. What's difficult is to translate those things into these quick decisions that nurses and doctors can make, that patients can make. And what you're left with is treating the body as if it's levers and pulleys. What can result from that is some benefit to the clinical team, but they're left with a lot of false alarms. They're left with missing a lot of patients. The reason for that is you have to translate something in a way that our human brains can understand. And it's very difficult to think about the relationship of variables over time. But that's something that machines do very well. So we looked at how we could find problems like this, where it was very rare events that may go under the radar, very complex events. And those are really great opportunities to look at for applying machine learning or AI. And so there's cases like severe sepsis, which is a horrible thing to happen to the body, where gone untreated for a few hours, the risk of dying, the body shutting down is very great. But if clinicians know it's happening, they can act in a timely way with understood processes that could save the patient. So this was a great candidate for us to tackle. There's a lot of situations in the health system, as you could imagine, that meet definition. So something that's very rare, but very impactful, very hard to find, let's go attack it. There's some dangers with that, though, especially if you're applying any kind of improvement. You have to wait months to determine if you've actually moved the needle or not.
Right.
And the other challenge is there really haven't been, in a large way, in a scale way, these solutions in health systems. So the whole human interface, human factors component, is largely unknown. So even though we produce an algorithm that could be published worthy, has really great performance, everyone's happy with it, it doesn't mean that you're actually going to achieve an outcome, because you may not understand how to present that to the clinical team or how to present that to the patient. So that's a difficult problem to solve, and the iteration on it is long. Still worth doing. So we have a portfolio of those things. There's other areas where there's decisions that are being made hundreds, thousands of times a day at large hospitals. And so if we can just optimize those a little bit, do a little better than the humans, it compounds over time to be a big impact for the health system and the patient. And so we want to manage those two things together.
You're initiating work around sepsis, also working in heart failure. Why were these two early targets for you? And looking at the ways that machine learning and artificial intelligence could aid doctor and nurse decisions about patient care?
There were a lot of reasons. The number one reason, though, is because there was clinical pull. So all the projects that we work are not from the mind of the data scientists. They're from the mind of the clinical teams. And how they actually manifest themselves in the world is reflected on how the clinical team chooses it to be created. So for heart failure, we had a great leader on the quality side, Joe Fonte Gallagher, and on the clinical side, Ali Goldberg, who had a vision for this. And so they pulled us through. Same thing on the severe sepsis side, had a clinical team to do the same thing. What was nice about those two problems, though, is they're very different in many ways. One, it can be looked at as a population management, can be looked at as, you know, not this acute issue, but you're managing it over years. And so you want to process the data, look at the data differently. You want to present it differently to the clinical team. Versus sepsis is this acute problem. You want to respond within an hour, and you want to monitor data very rapidly. So it was nice to have those two problems, because we wanted to create a platform that allowed us to attack very different problems, allowed us to orchestrate the pipeline and the applications that we're building to basically leverage this work for the next project. And that's a fundamental thing if you're going to have a program around building predictive solutions. If you have a one-off approach, you're going to be limited. You're going to maybe get to two or three, four of these applications. But if you have a platform that can manage these things in a general way, orchestrate all the processing, you really have a foundation to attack as many of these problems as you can handle.
Now, we know that heart failure is the number one cause of hospital admissions in the developed world. Sepsis is the number one cause for ICU deaths in the nation. What is the goal in terms of the change in care that Penn is trying to deliver through implementation of machine learning?
So there's this changing world in healthcare around policy and reimbursement. And one, I also say that it's just a really great place to work. If anyone wants to work in healthcare, give me a call. It's a very altruistic environment. These are businesses, but they're really trying to do the best thing for the patients. Mm-hmm. So what's really great is that the health policies, the reimbursement models are starting to align with that. But right now, it's not completely aligned with that. To get ready for that day, we're looking at how can we take care of a patient that has chronic heart failure over the year, over 2 years, and slow the progression or manage the progression of the disease to a point where they can live a normal life. Right now, traditionally, the health systems aren't incentivized to do that. But of course, the caring doctors and nurses absolutely are, and the administration is. So what we're doing is looking at how can we track our patients over long periods of time, help through predictive solutions, the care team understand the patients that are at risk, and focus the very limited resources that they have on those patients. That's one approach that Penn is taking, and we're applying that to many areas like cancer and surgery, where we're looking at patients over a long period of time and using tools like predictive healthcare, but mobile solutions, telehealth. On the acute side, this is a problem that health systems have been attacking for years and years and years. And so this is just a new tool, it's a new technology they're looking to apply to an old problem.
When you look at the collaboration with Intel, can you tell me a little bit about how you've worked with the data scientists and technologists at Intel around this collaboration?
Yeah, so this is exciting. So one of the big challenges is how do you do these things at scale in terms of big data, in terms of having many, many kinds of applications? How do you manage data in healthcare? I think it's one of the most interesting and challenging industries in terms of the data that comes in. Keep in mind that we have thousands of variables that come in for patients a day, and they're predominantly entered by humans, which makes the data incredibly gnarly, incredibly error-prone, and the variability is unknown. So from a data scientist perspective, that's a very interesting problem. From a computer science perspective, that's a really interesting problem. So we've had a really strong collaboration with Intel to start to build a solid foundation for these things. There's a open source project called Trust Analytics Platform that enables the platform as a service for us to put out our applications, enables easy use of these open source projects, and allows us to easily contribute back in terms of what we're building to the open source world. And that's from the platform perspective. But from another really interesting place that we're working on is how can we make sure that what we're building works in another health system? How can Penn collaborate? How can Penn help lead the way in how these things are used? Well, one of the biggest challenges is not very sexy. It's just the data is hard. And if I build an application that works at Penn, I can guarantee you it's not going to work at NYU. It's not going to work at Stanford. What I can do is say, we've done it, and so you should do it too, but build it all over again.
Provide the framework and hope that somebody can apply it within their own systems.
That's right. And right now that can't happen. So what we're working on is how can we actually standardize the data set that comes in a way that it works in stream, in real time, and at rest. And there's a lot of great data standards and containers in healthcare, but there's no one size fits all. There just isn't. So what we're trying to do is create a standard that works particularly for our case, which is real-time prediction and data science at scale. And we've come up with some really interesting techniques that I think are applicable at other institutions. And so we're having those kind of conversations with our research partners.
Fantastic. We'd love to have you back on the program sometime to hear how this evolves and how you're able to change the way that Penn approaches delivering patient care. One final question for you. If folks are listening online, they want to find out more, where can they go for more information and how can they connect with you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. We're always looking for collaborators and new employees. So you can find us at med.upenn.edu/predictive healthcare. And there's contact information there where you can reach me. And then my Twitter handle is mdraugelis. That's mdraugelis.
Michael, thank you so much for being on the program today. Thanks for joining us at AI Day.
That was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.